You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina, in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Listening to the cycling podcast Femina, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Today we are at Blenheim Palace.
So how does it feel to be back in the leader's jersey at the women's tour?
Well, of course exciting, but we've only had two stages, so it's a long way to go. I mean, it's not the Tour de France, that Paris is still long, but it's the women's tour, so you know that that it's going to be hard. And let's see today. It's not the toughest stage on paper, but right from the start it goes up, and it will be lumpy all the way, so I expect some fireworks.
You're back in the leader's jersey in this race. That must come as a surprise today.
a really big surprise, I have to say. I didn't even know until somebody after the finish told me, so I hadn't even thought about it. I just had my plan how to go into the final, and then I got second. But yeah, it feels kind of weird as well, because, my Janne, she crashed so hard that she dropped out of the race, and I feel sorry for her, and I wish her a really speedy recovery from the crash, of course. And so it feels kind of weird to be in the leader's jersey as well.
Well, we were played in there by two voices, which tell the story of the day, don't they? We heard Marion Vos, who was the green jersey wearer this morning in Henley for the start of the posh stage, stage three of the women's tour. And then at the end of the day, it was Lisa Brenner in the lead. A dramatic day, wasn't it, Rose Manley?
It was. Oh, very nicely done. It was. I mean, we wanted excitement. We wanted the race to be animated. But, you know, we, of course, didn't want this. It was kind of crash-filled. Oh, won't do any spoilers for all the story of the stage, but it's not the animation that we were really wanting, was it?
Well, no. Said last night that Marianne Vos was in a very strong position in the race, looked in great form. She won yesterday's second stage, but the race has completely turned on its head today because she's out with injuries, and a lot of other riders are either out or quite injured after the stage.
Yeah, or with decimated teams. I mean, CCC went into today's stage with the leader's jersey and a full complement of riders. They finished the day without their team leader and with only three riders now in the race, one of whom looks fairly badly injured. So you're sort of looking around the field now to see who's got a full team left, and of those, then maybe they're standing the best chances right now.
Indeed.
Do you want to say who I am as well and who you
Orla
are?
Orla Shinawee.
Yeah.
I'm Richard Moore. And where are we, Orla?
We are in the Old Fourpenny Shop Hotel, isn't that what it's called? In Warwick, near the start of stage four. So we've made the journey from Blenheim Palace to here tonight. I'm a bit sleepy. I'm a bit tired tonight. I'm struggling to get my words out.
So I'll give you a little poke if you fall asleep.
Will you?
Yes.
A little slap across the jowl.
What about Blenheim Palace? What did you make of that?
Beautiful,
I mean, did the posh
it?
Stage live up to expectations, hype?
It was very
the posh,
posh
stage, you see, was very...
It was very posh.
It was posh, but in terms of racing, posh. It was quite mucky.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was anything but posh.
Well, I don't know. Posh people are kind of like that, though, aren't they? Secretly.
Like polo, water polo,
exactly.
And like horsey polo, whatever.
Under a veneer of beauty, there's that savageness, I think, of posh people.
Oh, my God.
So we started in Henley, which is very nice.
Yes, beautiful.
One or two people there, little locals, a bit upset at the description of it as a posh stage, as if everybody who lives in this area is posh.
It's not supposed to be disparaging. I think it's complimentary, isn't it? It's
I
an affectionate term, posh.
We've been to some very glamorous places today, haven't we? Seeing where the Henley Regatta starts.
Little,
that was beautiful.
Beautifully maintained villages.
Stunning.
And you know, houses and thatched roofs and tea shops.
Tea shops. We stopped at a lovely tea
shop.
You certainly
proved you weren't posh in there, didn't you?
I dropped the F-bomb, didn't I, in the middle of this really
awkward.
Quaint tea shop. And I could feel the ladies on the table next to us bristling beside
and me.
And you, yeah. I thought, oh, dear, dear, dear. I'm actually very well brought up. And my mother listens to this podcast. She'd be very disappointed if I keep sort of doing myself down and my background down.
My mum said I was very much a stage two kind of gal. So.
You are a stage two kind of gal, but with a stage three accent.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's true.
But what I was going to say, though, was about anyone who took any sort of offence at us calling it the poor stage, is they don't know, in our defence, where bike racing usually,
I thought you were
very
say,
often takes us. That's usually to an industrial estate on the edge of a big city or a car park. Or they're never really very inspiring surroundings. And so I meant this in a very positive way.
I thought you were going to say they have no idea the kinds of places that we live.
Well, we saw about the race today, didn't we? Got on the course and on the second categorised climb early in the stage.
You're doing spoilers on it. What's happened to this?
We actually saw the race go past. No, this isn't a spoiler. We just saw the race go past.
Yes.
You know, so that was nice. And then we raced to Blenheim Palace, and that was a really beautiful finish for the stage. What happened in the stage, Orla?
Well, shall I first of all congratulate our winner from last night?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have a competition officially, but we'll call him a winner.
Everything's a competition, Richard.
For the glory.
The glory tonight goes to Graham Denny, not only for getting all of the Charles Dickens references right, but for throwing in a few of his own in his email.
Showing off.
Well, I like a bit of showboating. He said, here's my attempt at spotting the references in last night's podcast. If I'm wrong, no matter. Nothing that we do is done in vain. Beautiful from Tale of Two Cities. And then he finished it off by saying, looking forward to tonight's podcast as, please, sir, I want some more. I appreciate that effort, Graham.
And
shall I say what they were very briefly?
Yeah, go for it.
Great Expectations, Old Curiosity Shop, A Tale of Two Cities, Hard Times, It Was the Best of Times, It Was the Worst of Times, Our Mutual Friend, Pictures from Italy, and Procrastination is the Thief of Time. And I'm laughing to myself because he also then put in foreshadowing with a question mark because I said something foreshadowed or foreshadowing last night. And clearly he thought, well, that's a big word for Orla, so that must be some sort of a literary reference. But no, actually, Graham, foreshadowing was my own vocabulary last night. But thank you. There we go.
And do you want to mention before you do tonight's story of the stage that we've got a competition? with a great prize.
Incredibly exciting competition, right? Are we ready for this? So you have to pay attention to tonight's references because the winner will get two VIP tickets to stage 5 to spend the day in hospitality. And they get to go on stage, on the podium, at the end of the stage and present the iceberg jersey.
That's Friday.
That's on Friday
so,
in Wales.
Only enter if you're able to be in Wales on Friday.
Well, you can enter
anyway.
But do let us know if you can accept the prize.
Yeah.
Do let us know in your email. Preferably give us your... you'll give us your name anyway, but mobile number would be great. But otherwise, we'll contact you via email. But yeah, you can enter anyway just for fun and giggles, I would say.
Yeah, you can email us, contact@thecyclingpodcast.com or do it on social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
I'll come up and chat to us tomorrow morning. Stage start. We should say what our reference is tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
Dusty Springfield. It's a popular one amongst the crew because Dusty Springfield has a grave site in
Henley.
And her ashes were scattered between Henley and the Cliffs of Moher in County Clare in Ireland, which I didn't realise and I'm very... I don't know why I'm
very
excited
dusty.
By that.
Yeah.
Very dusty.
Very dusty. Oh. It's not very dusty.
That's a bit of a sick joke,
very
but I'm a big admirer of Dusty Springfield.
We all love her. So, yes, so tonight's references are Dusty Springfield references. Shall I get going?
Yeah.
We should say, we stayed in this beautiful accommodation last night, by the way. Rose and I shared a cottage.
Yes, we did.
Self-catered, which is a bit of a shame because I quite fancied some breakfast in bed, but it was a lovely place to stay anyway. Cracking on with the story of the stage. Give me time on this one. I don't know what to do with myself with so much action compared to the first few days. But we had a very early categorised climb, first of all, giving us Queen of the Mountain points after just 9.5k. Christine Madjuras again taking full points with Sophia Bertet Solo of Virtue in second, ahead of Cassian Iviadoma in third. Almost immediately after that, Anna Plitcher of Trek Segafredo reckoned that, well, if you go away early enough, can stay a while out front. So that's what she did. And we, as you mentioned, Richard, stopped off pretty much in the middle of nowhere just before the second categorised climb and saw Plitcher with a lead of just under a minute at that stage. So no surprise that she held on to the second QOM, took maximum points over Madjuras and Iviadoma up there again. For a sprint, saw Plitcher soak up those points as well over Corinne Rivera and race leader at the time, Mariana Voss. And then, as we were building up to the second sprint of the day, disaster. Voss was being led out by her CCC teammates when one of them hit a pothole, we understand. Hands came off the handlebars, and anything from 30 to 50 or maybe even more riders hit the deck. It sounded absolutely horrific. We heard almost immediately that Trixie Warwick of Trek had abandoned, but then came the news that Mariana Voss was also out. Anyone who had a heart would feel for the Dutch woman, stage winner and race leader from yesterday, started the day in the leader's jersey, finished it at hospital, getting stitches to her face. So we are wishing and hoping that she gets better soon. So the race was neutralised for about 40 minutes while medical attention was brought to the riders. Finally restarted, and Plitcher, who had a 55-second advantage before the crash, built it up little by little to 1 minute 40 with 68 kilometres to go. Can't be easy, I always think, keeping that momentum and building on it. Goodness knows what goes on in the windmills of your mind while you're waiting for the race to restart, but she did a great job. Finally caught with 41 kilometres to go. And then, with about 30 kilometres to go, another crash, which we actually learned about when the race crossed the line. Ashley Momopasio was injured in that. Lizzie Deignan came down as well. Several others, some of whom we'll hear from shortly. But all of those riders did at least finish the race. And then it came down to a sprint finish. Julian Dora winning her second stage in just 3 days. The Belgian beating Lisa Brenner, with Demi Vollering in third. Just a fraction of a centimetre ahead of Roxanne Fournier. So the jerseys then, Lisa Brenner is the new race leader of WNT. The sprints jersey still belongs to Corinne Rivera. The points jersey stays with Julian Dora. Queen of the Mountains jersey once again goes to the Bowles Dolmans Hotel on the back of Christine Madjuras. Best British rider is Lizzie Deignan. And Anna Plitcher took the combativity jersey. So tonight, lots of injuries, lots of bruised bodies. A lot of riders, I suspect, will be all cried out. A dramatic day.
The fastest clothing in the world tour. The home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
I think our Ratha bib shorts are one of the most important items of clothing we get. It's the main point of contact with the bike, and you spend hours and hours riding your bike, so you need to be comfortable and have the support that you get from them. Hi, I'm Alice Barnes and I race for Canyon SRAM Racing. I think the Ratha bib shorts are the best in the world.
Thank you very much indeed to Ratha, our headline sponsor at the Cycling Podcast Femina. And just a little shout out for an event that Lionel, Bernie and I are hosting next Tuesday, the 18th of June in London. It's to raise money for Ambitious About Autism. And it's called Secrets of the Pro Peloton. We'll be quizzing a World Tour professional rider, a World Tour team manager, and an Olympic gold medalist. All anonymous at this stage, but they'll be there. And we'll be getting some prizing, some secrets out of them. Do go to rafa.cc and look up Secrets of the Peloton and get a ticket if you can make it next Tuesday night.
I have to say that we have been privy to half of the conversations that you've been having. So we've heard your half of the conversations while you've been chatting to some of the people that you're going to be interviewing on stage.
Intriguing, isn't it?
The stories sound cracking. I wish I was going.
You know one of them pretty well.
I do, yeah. And I'm wondering how many of his real stories he'll actually tell.
Oh, we'll get it all out of him.
I'll share some that maybe he hasn't
shared
yet.
It's all going to be secret anyway. Nobody will ever hear what goes on there.
Yeah.
So today's stage, that was a great effort, Orla. Well done. Quite a lot of, I spotted it because we were listening to Dusty Springfield, weren't we, this morning?
All day, actually. Yeah. It was a lovely way to travel around. Oh, brilliant.
What a voice.
Do you know what I was thinking? And I hate
She'd have been good
this.
On the podcast, wouldn't she?
She would have been. She'd be good on anything. But I hate doing this. But I was listening to it and I was thinking, is there a comparable these days? Do we get singers like her anymore? Do we get you know, such a breadth of storytelling, and I don't know if we do, and I lament that.
Just the voice.
Yeah, beautiful. She made me very, like, happy deep
favorite
in my gut.
Dusty
today.
Springfield song.
Oh.
I think Breakfast in Bed is mine.
I like Wishing and Hoping, but I completely disagree with the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, you were quite outraged.
It's of its time. It's of its time, Rose. We've moved on. We're in a different
Anyone
era now.
Anyone Who Had a Heart, I think, is one of
yeah.
favorites.
Yeah. Nice. A few clues there about some of the references in your story of the stage, if you want to go back.
I do know what my favorite one is, but yeah, I'm not going to say then.
Oh, you're not going to say it?
Well, because it's another one. That's given another one away.
Oh, okay.
From
that's fine. We want people to win. Anyway, a really dramatic day on the women's tour today. And the main story was the big crash. And then another crash, as you said, Orla, in the finale, which may have serious consequences for Ashley Moulman-Passio. We'll hear for her in a moment. But I went and spoke to Mick Bennett, the race director, at the finish, just to find out what had happened and about the decision that was taken by the organisers to neutralise the race pretty quickly. Because we should say it was happening at an intermediate sprint. It was very fast at the time, and the crash happened right at the front of the bunch, which is always worse. And so there was a big pile up. I spoke to Tim Harris as well. He was driving the chief commissar behind the bunch. He said he'd never seen a crash like it, and he's driven in a lot of races. He'd never seen such a pile up, so many riders involved and so many serious injuries. So it was a really serious, serious crash. And here's what Mick Bennett of the Women's Tour organisation had to say.
A really bad crash. I mean, what did you see, Mick, and how were you told about what happened?
Well, we're still collating accurately all the information from the TV motor that was filming the front of the peloton at the time. But approximately between 500 and 800 metres to go at the second sprint at Didcot, they were all across the road. There was an echelon to the right, and it appeared to have been led out by CCC Live with Marianne Vos in second wheel. And for whatever reason, Marianne appeared to lose control of her bike and came off the bars. She went sideways. At the same time, there was a move going on the left-hand side of her, leading their riders out for the sprint. Before the incident, there was a rider, Anna Plichter, was away. She had about 48 seconds to 50 seconds. I was with her at the front, and so Marianne crashed. The move that was going down the left-hand side of the road continued because they had no idea that she'd gone down. As she came down, it dominoed, concertinaed behind. And you can't actually see it on the film, but it would appear that the whole road decked, or the crash caused a lot of riders to go down behind at the back of the peloton. And we had Commissar President and Radio Tour behind there, and all of our medics behind there. And all of our medics had attended to before that, and they'd all collected at the back. So we had a full complement of medics. But then as a result of the blocking the whole road and the attention, we had medics on top of the incident straight away. And it required all four doctors, all of our paramedics, two ambulances, one race doctor's car and one rapid response medics vehicle to attend to the incident. Where, we took the decision to neutralise it in Didcot, because we're now beyond the sprint, and award the points to the girl that was sprinting that was 50 seconds ahead, so she got the points for the sprint. Then we neutralised it, and we were waiting for a report, so they were held for approximately 20-25 minutes. We told Anna Plichter that she would have her lead given back to her 48 seconds. And it was only when we were clear that we had a full complement of medical facilities back with the race that we restarted. We always want one ambulance, one RIV and a doctor's car back with the race, and that's what we need. And one of our ambulances took a number of them to the hospital anyway, and they rejoined the whole race with about 10-12k to go. But the threat to life for the riders is the most important thing for us. And we wouldn't restart until we had our complement. And the race doctor and myself and the commissaire president were satisfied that we had a complement that could deal with the race as normal before we restarted. And that was the situation.
So that was Mick Bennett telling us a little bit about what happened and the decisions made by the organisation. That it was neutralised in a sort of village, in a town, where obviously with the race stopped, some of the riders took advantage of the pause to take a natural break at the side of the road in front of some school children. Well, that was a problem, obviously, and so a local who ran a tanning salon opened up her tanning salon for the ladies of the women's tour to go and take a natural break in there.
Cyclists do have terrible tan lines, so that would have been a good opportunity, wouldn't it?
I didn't spot anyone coming across the line having sorted out their tan lines. No.
But other priorities on the stage, I think.
We spoke to a few riders who were involved in the crash at the finish, and I think, Rose, you spoke to Hannah Barnes.
Yeah, I did. In the end, she says that three of the Canyon SRAM went down and they all got back on their bikes, but actually in the end of the stage, Ellen Cicchini did abandon. So this is what Hannah had to say about the first crash of the day. Hannah, it's clear that you went down in that big crash today. Can you tell us what happened?
I don't know, there was a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, that was a really long 80k actually. My elbow, yeah, it's hurting. But yeah, it was just, it was actually quite a, coming up to this sprint, so it was a bit chaotic, but yeah, I was braking and I could have stopped, but then someone just rammed me and it's quite scary when you're at the bottom of a pile up and you can just hear screaming. And yeah, it's a shame that this race sometimes can be determined just from who makes it through. But yeah, we had three go down, but thankfully we seem to be all right. So, yeah.
How far ahead in the peloton did it happen, or how many people would you say went down?
For our teammate, I mean, Tiff said that there was only 15 of them that got through, so it was actually, I think it was pretty close to the front. I mean, it was for an intermediate sprint, and this race, the intermediate sprints are really important, so I mean, for 2 seconds sometimes you think, is it worth it? But it's a bike race, so everyone wants to push the limit, but yes, that is part of the sport, unfortunately.
And quite a few Mitchelton Scott riders involved in the crash as well, including Gracie Elvin, who I spoke to at the finish. Her teammate Sarah Roy, actually fifth on the stage, she was quite badly injured, so she did really well to get up there. I erroneously told Gracie that Sarah Roy had finished second or third, because that's what it looked like to me where I was standing, but she hadn't. She was
she was 100 metres beyond the finish line.
Apologies for that. But here's what Gracie Elvin had to say about the crash and her own injuries. There were a few of you involved in it, I think. What happened in the crash?
From what I've heard from other riders, I think the CCC had a train going for the intermediate sprint, and one of them unfortunately hit a hole in the road and she just crashed, and I think she was right in front of Mariana. So yeah, everyone's really sad that Mariana's out of the race, and everyone hopes that she's okay. I think there was at least 3 or 4 of us from our team that came down. There was just so many riders in that crash, it was hard to avoid. It covered the whole road and we were going so fast.
And it happened right at the front of the bunch. They're always the worst ones, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. It just spread across the whole road, so it's pretty hard to avoid sometimes.
And what about you? Were you hurt in that?
Yeah, I was. It took me a while to get up off the ground. I hit my arm pretty hard, so yeah, I wasn't feeling so good for the rest of the day.
Were you sort of helping to lead out Sarah Roy at that time?
Not for the intermediate, but for the finish I was going to be, but I couldn't after the crash today. Even when I tried to move up in the bunch today, I just had no energy, so I don't know if I'm going to recover enough for tomorrow, but we'll see.
It was a bit of a struggle then, was it, after the crash?
Yeah.
I think I couldn't see probably. I think Sarah was maybe second on the stage or third on the stage, and she looked like she was quite badly hurt as well. So I guess in the circumstances, that was a good performance by her.
Yeah, super good. She's so tough. She definitely got hurt today, but she kept her head on, and it's dangerous in these bunch sprints, so I have so much respect for her that she could still pull that off today.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton, Cycling Podcast Team Car, the back of the pack, please.
That's the voice of Seb Piquet, the voice of race radio at the Tour de France, interrupting our women's tour coverage to remind me to tell you that tonight's episode is sponsored by LACA, the bike insurance people. Now, LACA is a great idea. It's a community-driven insurance policy for cyclists which covers your bike and your kit up to the value you choose, and the premium you pay is dependent on claims by other LACA customers. I've got my bike with me at the Women's Tour. It is
insured by LACA and Orlan Rose. I'm keeping it very safe, haven't I?
You are. It's very sweet, actually, because your bike goes in your bed at night and you sleep on the floor. It's how much you love it.
That's just for the benefit of our LACA customers. I'm not going to be responsible for your premiums going up this month. Don't you worry. Another LACA customer is David.
Hi, my name is David Drimple. I've been a LACA customer since January this year, and I'm based in London. I heard about LACA because they're involved in a lot of sponsorship of grassroots cycling teams in London. Kind of the model and the way the pricing structure works is what essentially attracted me to them in the first place. It's done so that the less people that claim per month impacts how much you pay. So you're given a maximum and an average price. Most often, since I've been a customer, I've paid less than the average. So essentially you set how much you want to cover your bikes for. So I know that if I need to claim for everything on the bike at once, that it will be covered up to that value. From the interactions I've had with LACA, it really feels like they understand the cyclist. Unfortunately, I came off my bike a couple of weeks ago. I was kind of just riding to work. I damaged a few parts, kind of the saddle was a bit damaged and my shifters and stuff. And I'd started my claims process, but I hadn't actually got around to finishing it. I didn't think I had all the details. And Penny from LACA actually reached out to me over email asking if I needed any help with the process. And I actually got back to her and said I was a little bit confused about this. From that moment, within 24 hours, I'd been able to purchase a new part and the money was already back in my account. The way in which she kind of walked you through the process and the speed at which they responded and got everything in line was incredible. It was honestly quite an impressive process. Like I've claimed before on insurance companies, and it's almost the amount of paperwork and hoops you need to jump through are almost overwhelming. But they made it so simple.
Well, that's LACA customer David, and you can get a £10 credit by using the discount code podcast at laca.co.uk. Find out more at laca.co.uk. That's LAKA.
Well, we heard before the break there from Gracie Elvin, who seemed unsure about whether she would even start tomorrow. And it was something Mick Bennett said, that a lot of riders were complaining throughout the stage about injuries they'd suffered in the crash. You know, there were a lot that received medical attention at the time, but that crash is going to have a serious impact on the race tomorrow and on the next few days. A few teams really badly affected, including obviously CCC, who had the lead with Marion Voss, who looked in great form, and you know, really sad ending to her women's tour when she looked in such a strong position and really up for it. And their plan B, their other card to play, was Ashley Moulman-Passio. But we discovered at the finish that she had crashed as well, didn't we?
Yeah, I saw her crossing the line and she looked quite delicate and quite shaken up. And I wasn't sure why at that stage, because we didn't know the second crash had happened and the first crash had happened such a long time ago. But it looked like she had been crying. So I wasn't sure if that was because of what had happened to the team. So I waited for a little while and allowed her to be looked over by the soigneur and to get her breath back, because she really needed a bit of time to herself. And even when I sort of waved the microphone at her and she knew that I wanted to chat and very graciously came over and spoke, but even then it looked like she had tears in her eyes. She was clearly in a lot of pain. She was sort of clutching her hip. I overheard one of the race officials telling her that there were so many injured riders that they couldn't get anyone to the finish line for her, so she was going to have to make her way down to the buses and be looked at there. So it just goes to show the extent of the lasting injuries even amongst those who did make it to the line. But yeah, so when I spoke to her, she explained that she emerged pretty much unscathed from the first crash, but it was the second crash that brought her down. She had been able to ride to the line, which is encouraging, but she'll have to get herself checked over tonight and find out just what has been damaged in that crash. But here's what she had to say at the finish line.
You're looking pretty beaten up. Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. I just have some pain in my back and my ankle is not so good. But I finished, so I can ride my bike, but we'll have to see. Yeah, I mean, it's been a really bad day for the team. Yeah, Mariana, I don't even know. I hope she's okay.
So you came down in that crash as well then?
Well, yeah, I did. But in that crash, I was actually okay because I landed on top of everyone. So I wasn't affected by the crash other than needing a bike change. So yeah, it was a bit unsettling, of course, because I saw my teammates at the bottom of the pile. I kind of made the concerted like mission not to really look too closely, because I think, you know, if you see it and then to try and continue is really hard. But yeah, and then there was another crash. I don't know, about 30 k's from the finish, and yeah, I was caught up in that. So yeah, it's been a crazy day.
Do you know what happened in either of the two crashes? I read from Mariana's quote, it sounded like maybe she'd hit a pothole, possibly.
So Jana, they, you know, was obviously approaching the sprint, and so Jana and Ariana were doing a lead out for Mariana, and Jana was second wheel, and she hit a big puddle, and she lost her handlebars, and then yeah, obviously Mariana was behind. So yeah.
And do you have any update? We've heard that she needs stitches to her face. Do you have any idea how she is?
I just know that she had quite a bad cut on her nose. Yeah, I mean, I think it was quite bad. But no updates, so obviously we'll find out more now.
And what about the second crash that you came down so heavily in?
I actually have no idea what happened. It happened in front of me, and was one of those situations where I hit brakes full on to try and avoid it, but then from behind I got hit, and so I couldn't do anything. And yeah, I think I've just taken quite a big knock to the right-hand side of my lower back and my ankle. It's not so good, but we'll see.
It's the brutality of bike racing, isn't it? I mean, this time yesterday, your team were on a high. Mariana, you're riding together for the first time this year. What was she like in victory? And I guess, how much sadder does it make today?
Yeah, I mean, Mariana's always such a gracious winner, you know, and it's always uplifting to see her win. So yeah, I mean, we were really in very good spirits at the start of the race today, and yeah, it's crazy how things can change just in a couple of seconds, you know. So from such a high to a really bad day for the team, three riders out. Now I don't know what situation I'm in. I'll have to see how it goes, and tomorrow we'll have to see.
Are you hopeful at this stage of starting the stage tomorrow, or impossible to say?
I mean, I'm hopeful. Yeah, I mean, I'm here to win, but yeah, we'll just have to see.
So that was Ashley Moulman-Passio, and I guess we'll find out tomorrow the extent of her injuries and whether she's able to carry on. If she's not, they've got a big bus, haven't they, CCC? Just three riders now rattling around in that. Let's hope she's okay.
Bigler's situation suddenly doesn't look quite as bad this evening, does it? Because they're not the only team with very few riders.
That's true, they've got the same amount.
Advantaged, yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. But one of the other stories of the day was Anna Plichta, the Polish rider at Trek Segafredo, who was off the front when we were watching the race at the side of the road between the two QOMs. And it was good to see somebody off the front. It was surprising to see a rider from that team off the front. And she really persisted with it, because you thought, you know, presumably she wanted other people to go with her. They didn't. So she plugged away, and she was still off the front by a minute or so when... 48 seconds, when the race was neutralised, and she carried on. She had a big day out, and you spoke to her at the finish, Rose, because I think she was involved in that later crash as well.
Yeah, so she got picked up the combativity prize for the day, but when she came to collect her prize, she actually had blood streaming down her leg, and as Orla said earlier, we didn't know about this second crash, so it was quite surprising to see her, because obviously she wouldn't have been affected by the first one being way out in the break. So really eventful day for her. She ended up finishing 11 minutes back, so obviously it was severely affecting her at the end. But yeah, here's what she said about her big day out.
Anna, we saw you coming in with cuts and grazes on your legs, but that can't have been from the first crash. So what happened in the second crash?
Yeah, that was another one, really big also. A lot of riders were involved, and also me. Yeah, it was just after the group catch me, so I was also on the limit, and then, yeah, we were trying to make it back because Lizzie was also there with me. But in the end, yeah, she could make it and I didn't, so yeah, lucky for her, she was back in the group.
And how was it on your solo break? It was a quite a long day out front for you, wasn't it?
Oh, wow, that was a really long day. So I was really hoping maybe someone was going to join me. But then in the end, yeah, they didn't. So I was trying to keep it going. And also when they stopped us, when they did the first neutralization after the crash, I spoke with Ina to make a decision what we're going to do. And yeah, she said, yeah, it's good to try. So I was keeping going.
And how did you get to enjoy the crowds? Or?
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Like, I was really suffering there in the front, but I was just making, like, from this point I have to get to another point when the people are standing on the road, and then it's always getting, like, so much motivation for you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Storey. I'm the Academy Principal of the Skoda DSi Cycling Academy. Well, here at the concourse, just above this amazing track here at the London Velodrome, we've got Watt bikes set up, we've got some turbo trainers set up, and we're about to do our testing day to select 5 applicants for the Skoda DSi Cycling Academy for 2019.
So I've been cycling from quite a young age. I actually started in mountain biking. I raced downhill for a few years, and then I started an apprenticeship, and I thought about to be sensible after that, so I picked up road cycling and I did a few triathlons, and then I've been road racing for a few, but this is my second year road racing now, and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm Lucy, I'm from Wrexham in North Wales. I come down this morning, so I've had an early start. I think Julia Elliott, one of the ambassadors here today, she shared it and I read it. I thought I'd give it a go. I had no intention of coming, getting this far, so I'm really happy to be here. It's been a real shock to the system, but I've just come off 6 months of training for London Marathon. So I did London Marathon this year, and I've just started working with a cycling coach for about a month now. So I've had to do certain tests in that so they can gauge where I'm at. I've really enjoyed just improving my fitness. I've never been able to do it before. But I've never done a 12-minute test before. That was quite
Thank you very much to Skoda, and we heard a little bit more there from the Skoda Cycling Academy day that Lionel Burney attended a few days ago, which is designed to find some new cycling talent, give some opportunity to some women, and I believe some of them have been selected now to join the Internationales at the Tour de France. They're riding a day ahead of the Tour de France, supported by Skoda, so they will go and join them in France, and seems to have been a great success. And yeah, interesting to hear about some of the riders involved in that. Skoda Cycling Academy, our Skoda's doing us very well. You've both had a turn behind the wheel now. Like it?
Really like it.
Do please say that you do.
I do really like it though, because we were discussing manual and automatic cars, and so many cars these days are automatic, and I really like a manual. I like the physical aspect of driving, so I really like it, and it's a lovely smooth
car. You like to grind those gears, don't you?
I don't grind gears actually, but I like to get my hands, I like to be hands on, you know. But I do, because otherwise you're both looking at me funny now like I've said something really really odd.
That's incredible. Sorry.
No, but sorry, otherwise no. I think I can be quite I can get quite sleepy
bored
from driving an automatic. Yeah,
lazy.
Bored, lazy, all of those things.
Nod off.
Yeah, a manual keeps you alert. I like it.
Keeps you on it. So
like
the stage,
a car bonnet.
The stage, a second stage for Yolene Doerr of Bulls Dolmans, obviously in great sprinting form. Some surprising names up there, though, I think. Mm. Lisa Brenner, second, obviously a very strong rider, former winner of this race, a very good time trialist. I don't think of her as a bunch sprinter, and she's often been in the service this year of Kirsten Veild, her teammate at WNT. It just shows you what she's capable of, really, and she's the new leader overall. Demi Vollering up there as well, in third, from Park Hotel Valkenburg. She is a sort of climber, Ardennes. I expect to see her over the next few days as well. So amazing to see her in third. Roxane Fournier, the Movistar rider, the French rider of Movistar, one of two French riders of Movistar. She's been up there in the top placings every day, actually.
Every day, top 10
sort
every
of stealthily
day, yeah.
Riding. You spoke to her at the finish, I think, Carla. Sarah Roy, mentioned already, fifth. And Lizzie Dagnan, continuing her good run in sixth. But I think you spoke to the stage winner at the finish, Rose.
Yeah, I did. I spoke to Yolene Doerr. And it's... I have been corrected on my pronunciation. So Yolene Doerr. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always do the E at the end as an...
Doerr.
That's it.
I spoke to her and amazing to have two stage wins in three stages for her, especially with a move to Bowles Dolmans this year. And she seemed to be a bit slow getting off the mark this season, but clearly she's come into some prime form at exactly the right time.
Yolene, how does it feel to get two stage wins in 3 days?
Yeah, it's amazing. I realised halfway the stage that it was going to be a bunch sprint, and then I told myself, yeah, I have to finish it off again for the team, for the girls. And they worked amazingly in the final again. And I'm really happy I could do it.
And how did the last 500 metres work out coming around that corner? Was that quite, was it important, the positioning important there?
Yeah, I knew I had to be third, fourth position going into the last corner, and it was super narrow. I didn't expect it to be that narrow. But yeah, and then you could see the finish line from 700 metres to go, so that was a bit tricky. And they started actually sprinting at 350 to go, so it was really long and was a weird sprint, but I'm happy I could finish it off.
And do you see any more opportunities for you or the fellow sprinters for the rest of this race?
I don't think so. It's going to be super hard the next 3 days, but I hope I can pay back my teammates and I can help them in one of the stages.
Well, that was stage winner Yolin Dora, and second on the stage.
Natural.
And moving into the overall lead, Lisa Brenner. She's won the stage before. She didn't have such a great year last year at Wiggle High Five, but at WNT, she seems to have refound her mojo. I mean, looking at the GC, Corner of Era is an interesting one because the last year's winner has sort of even more stealthily moved into second overall, mainly through collecting bonuses and intermediate sprints. Lizzie Dagnan is third. I spoke to Lisa Brenner at the finish. She was helping pack her bike into the team car before driving off to the hotel. The bus had left already, so I grabbed a quick word with her at the finish.
It's changed the race a bit as well, maybe, because a lot of riders caught up in the crash and a few out and a few injured.
Yes, yeah, of course. I mean, it was a huge crash, and I hadn't realized because we were preparing for the intermediate sprint on the other side of the road. So I saw a crash happening, but I hadn't realized how big of a crash it was until the race got neutralized. And it's really bad, and I feel sorry for everyone who got injured today. I hope that most of them can continue.
And three big days to come then. Are you looking forward to those?
Yes, of course. I mean, tomorrow is a long day, and I think tomorrow is the uphill finish as well. So, tricky day for me. And then we go towards the climbs. And yeah, I mean, I think I have to enjoy every day I can in the leader's jersey. And so that's how I want to start the stage tomorrow. And my teammates are happy, and I think they... making big steps, and I'm really proud about how we're racing here.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for supporting cycling podcast Femina throughout the year. And you can get 25% off all your Science in Sport products, of course, at scienceinsport.com with the code Rose and Orla, maybe.
SISCP25. Do you want me to chant again?
You're going to go to Phil Chan.
Oh,
my
God.
Hold on, it just takes me a little bit of time just to take myself to Selhurst Park and feel the atmosphere.
Close your eyes.
Feel it.
Ooh. That's my fifth. I'm putting the mood.
Putting some people off their food at the moment, but...
that was me trying to get...
SISCP25, SISCP25, CP25, SISCP25.
At scienceandsport.com.
Don't type all of that, though, we should say. when you go to scienceandsport.com, don't type all that.
That was Lisa Brenner we heard before the break there. I did. Orla's thought I said she was a former stage winner. She's a former winner of the Women's
Tour. You might not have done. It's a bit noisy in here. But
yeah, I don't know what I said. So looking ahead, so it has been a race of, or it is a race of two halves. That's what we've been told from the start. So we're halfway through. And the next 3 days, we've got a summit finish tomorrow. I'm gonna recce that. I'm gonna ride the final 30Ks, I think, of tomorrow's stage, and then we've got a really hard day on Friday, and then a tough day again on Saturday. But the next 3 days, we've got to see a bit more action, haven't we? Really?
Yeah. Well, I really hope that we do, and we're bound to with a summit finish. I know this is one that there's plenty of climbers that are really looking forward to this one, especially like the more explosive climbers. I'm personally excited. You mentioned her before, Demi Vollering, I think she will be. I just couldn't believe that she got a podium today. I mean, not that I didn't think she was a strong rider, but to be so capable against so many sprinters is quite amazing. And so I think she'll be definitely
one to watch. But then Corin Rivera and Team Sunweb are obviously playing a very clever game with these. They've been trying to collect these bonus sprint points at all the intermediate points, and it is working because she is second. So I think that they may have it well in control. Team Sunweb may have it well in control.
Yeah, it's interesting with Demi Vollering because, as you say, you wouldn't necessarily expect her up there. But I was chatting to her DS yesterday, Bart Fass, and he was saying that we were chatting about Dutch cycling in general, really, and women's cycling, and I was asking whether being Dutch of itself gives them a certain confidence among the peloton, even if they're not from a women's world tour team like Parker Del Valkenburg. And he said that it does, actually, because they know that they can beat the best in the world at any given stage on any given day. And it just gives them that confidence. And Vollering could well be a dark horse. She's coming into this off a second place on the GC at the Festival LC Jacobs. 15th at the Tour de Yorkshire, as well as the brilliant results in the Spring Classics. So it could be one to watch out for. And also because she, as far as I know, still has a full team around her, which not everybody does. And on that note, I would say also Movistar might start to be a team that we need to be watching out for, because one of the few very strong teams that still has six riders. So
Sunweb too seemed...
Sunweb, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Flirty Mackay, Scotland's Flirty Mackay, I spoke to her at the finish today and she was a bit scuffed up, but not her. And they seemed to get away. You know, luck is such an important part of stage racing. And Lisa Brenner was saying that her team were on the other side of the road when the crash happened, so they avoided it. And I think Sunweb escaped mainly unscathed. So yeah, that could be a factor. Michelin Scott been badly affected as well. A few of their riders down. CCC, obviously.
Did Canyon SRAM lose riders today?
They lost Elena Cecchini.
Oh yeah, they did, yeah. Because yeah, Cassiani Viadoma, you would think, would be one for tomorrow's stage. And you know, they are one of the teams who have been calling this a race of two halves and waiting for stage four to be able to kick off. So you would expect her to have a good showing tomorrow as well, I think.
Are we going to hear a bit from Cassiani Viadoma from Henley?
Yeah, spoke to her this morning, and she was looking forward to the last three stages of this race. She thought today might be a little bit uneventful. Unfortunately, not the case. But looking forward to the stages ahead, here's Cassiani Viadoma.
So, Kasia, two categorised climbs at the start of today's stage. How do you think that's going to affect the stage?
For sure, it's going to be a hard, rough start. Everyone wants to be in the front, and everyone will be fighting for it. I do not believe that a main action can happen over there because there is still a long way to the finish line. Although I do believe that everyone will feel some pain in the legs and that might affect the sprint. But yeah, I expect having a bunch sprint and of course really hard stages start tomorrow, and then we can see some little groups coming to the finish line.
Do you think the fact that it's essentially a race of two halves then, and we're waiting on stage four for the hard stages to start, do you think that's why we haven't seen so many attacks and the race has almost been neutralized to an extent?
Yeah, and also I feel like weather played a huge role, because first stage we had very nasty conditions. It was raining and it was very cold, so a lot of riders were just numb, you know, muscles were not working properly, and that's why you could not really see any actions. Yesterday we were racing on a very short circuit, so it's super difficult to get away because speed is very high and everything is very controlled. So I would say that, yeah, from today on we can see more actions and more things happening.
So on paper, perhaps, if we didn't have the stages around it, today could be a stage that might suit you and a typical long, lone attack. That's not going to happen then, is it?
Yeah, that's the pity, that actually once you did once, it's so hard to repeat it because everyone knows that you can do it, that you're capable of riding like this. So for sure, I miss having this kind of situations where I could really attack and go for it, because now I feel more controlled and that's kind of like limit my wings, you know?
So which stage are you in particular then targeting, do you think?
Tomorrow's. For sure, stage number four is the one that suits me, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So that was Cassiani Viadoma. Interesting that she finds it, you know, more difficult now that she's a marked lady, and because she tends to attack from the front a lot, doesn't she? So, you know, she telegraphs it a bit, and she just rides people off her wheel with sheer strength, and she will have opportunities in the next few days. I think one of us is going in the team car with Canyon SRAM on Friday, so hopefully that'll be a an eventful day for them. But tomorrow's summit finish, it's not super hard, but it should be an interesting finish. Who's going to be in the green jersey tomorrow night, Rose or Orla?
Oh, Coronavera
will be in green tomorrow, I think.
I'm going to say Lizzie Dynan, actually, is what I'm going to say. She's third on GC at the moment, so and only 4 seconds back, which is really nothing. So hopefully see something from her tomorrow.
I like that. Richard, who's yours?
Who's going to be in the... It's interesting. I mean, you said last night that although there hasn't been...
Wait. You pose this question, we answer your question, and then all I can hear is a lot of...
I am answering
it. What did you say, swithering the other day? A lot of swithering going on over there.
Swithering.
Swithering and Googling at the same time.
Yes. No, I'm not Googling, I'm staring at the GC.
He's
here.
Googling.
I'm staring at the GC.
In GC. I'm studying the GC. On stage
There's not going to be an awful lot of...
Change
tomorrow, I don't think. I think Demi Vollering is a really good shot. I mean, obviously, riding well, fast finish. Chrissy Majerus has been riding well, but they're 19 seconds down. I think it's going to be one of these Lisa Brenner, Corn Rivera, Lizzie Dignan.
Very politician-y answer.
One of those.
If you don't know, just say you don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, none of us know.
No, we don't know.
I mean,
we don't know.
We're all guessing.
Yeah,
that's
but
the nature of
like the other day, when you get it right. When you predicted it,
I'm going to go back
right
to my room and record myself saying several different names.
Saying, 84 different names. I'm going to go for Nivea Doma for the stage tomorrow, though. I think she's going to light it up. She does say, quite rightly, she cannot go on these long solo attacks anymore, but she still attacks from the front in such a beautiful way. I mean, you look at Amstel Gold and she just doesn't give up. I think if she's properly targeting tomorrow, which hopefully she is, and hopefully it's not a case of still thinking of stage 5 and stage 6, but if she's properly targeting tomorrow, I'd love to see a proper Nivea Doma attack.
I think if it comes down to the final climb, I think Corn Rivera is a very good shout. If not, I think Elisa Longo Borghini to get away in the last 20 kilometers or so, win the stage. She, you know, Lizzie Dynan is a good foil for her. I think she's in decent form.
It's anybody's game, isn't it?
Anybody's game.
It was good to see, as I said, Trek Segafredo rider on the attack today out front. More of that, please. And tomorrow we're coming from Shakespeare country. Where we are now,
which is very exciting for our Spot the Reference game.
Are we doing Shakespeare
evening
or something else?
I think we will do Shakespeare, unless anyone else has got a better suggestion. But Shakespeare is so beloved, isn't he?
You got to do Shaky. I know. We did do him. We did do him last year, but we can listen to that and turn things upside down, I think.
Why not? I mean, we can go for obscure references, possibly. But if anyone's
Titus
any
Andronicus, that famous rider, Titus Andronicus, she was great, wasn't she?
Antony and Cleopatra, she won that in somehow.
Coriolanus, let's not do that. Let's not do that one. We're straying towards something quite lowbrow if we do Coriolanus.
Right, okay, yeah. Let's not.
Don't want to go lowbrow. Keep it highbrow. Okay, thanks very much, Orla.
Thank you very much, both.
Thank you, Rose.
Thanks very much.
You're listening to the Cycling Podcast Feminin, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.